Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. Yes, I did see LeBron last night. I was at Staples. We'll have some thoughts on that coming up later on in the show. But let's get started with the Dodgers. Tomorrow, game one of the NLDS. Hyunjin Ryu will get the start for the Dodgers and not Clayton Kershaw. Rodney, does that surprise you?
Maybe a little. But given the way the season has gone, not a whole lot. I'm not overly shocked by it. You know, had this been 2 years ago, it would have been automatic that Clayton starts the series. But Ryu, let's be fair, he's pitched very well. I think he's earned the right to do this. Plus, I think there's some other factors involved here. I think that they're looking ahead, and if it does go to five games, then Clayton can be maybe available for that, and Ryu can be available for that and do the short rest then. But I'm not overly surprised by it.
Well, if we had this conversation at the beginning of the season, we wouldn't have this conversation.
Correct.
Ryu was hurt.
Yeah.
You had no idea how effective he would be when he came back. Since coming back, he has been outstanding. But maybe that speaks to where the Dodgers are with Clayton Kershaw. And that he may no longer be considered their stopper. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that he's still the competitor that he's always been. I think that, obviously as you get older, and it seems like because he's been in a Dodger uniform for such a long time, that it feels like he's been there forever. But he's still relatively young and at, 30 years old? He just turned in March. But yeah, the stuff diminishes a little bit. He's not as dominant as he once was, say, a couple years ago. But you have to be a little bit more crafty, and he's done that. But he's been hit around a little bit lately, and so that may be some concerns. And I throw it back at you. Say all three of these guys, Ryu, Kershaw, and Walker Buehler, are all available to go game one, or say it's game one of the World Series, or it's game seven of a World Series, who are you starting?
Buehler.
Yeah.
I'm starting Buehler right off the top.
Yeah.
He's not available now, obviously, because he just pitched. But I would go Buehler, one. I think the Dodgers would then go Kershaw, two, yeah, out of respect. But I'm not so sure I wouldn't go Ryu at this point, two. And then Kershaw. Do you think, and let's just call it, because he has had a magnificent career and it's far from over, but he's certainly not the guy he was. That being said, there are limitations now. And I think everybody gets to that point. Doesn't mean he's not effective. Doesn't mean you don't want him. Doesn't mean you don't want him on the mound. But there are going to be limitations. Do you think he realizes his limitations?
I think behind closed doors, deep down inside, I think one-on-one with Honeycutt and Dave Roberts, I think he gets where he is in his career. I really do. Sometimes that competitive spirit inside of you doesn't want to always believe that. Your mind is always going to tell you that you can still play. Look, I look up and watch NFL games and go, hey, I can still do that a little bit. Then I go out and play catch with my kids and go, no, I can't do that anymore. So your mind believes that you still are that guy at your best. But I think you also have to come to that realization that, hey, I am not that guy. I am not as dominant as I once was. And we have a couple young players on this team that are in their prime, that are dominant. And maybe I have to, take a different type of role. But I still think that you trot him out there, and I would go differently. I would say, yeah, even if it's Walker Buehler starting, I would go him second. I would pitch him in the second game for sure.
Kershaw.
Yeah, yeah. Regardless if it's Ryu and then Kershaw or Buehler and then Kershaw going forward, because I think then you can get him back at the later on in the series if need be.
So in the season of ups and downs and waves and just, confusion and angst, they're back where they were. They win the West. They're in the NLDS. If you forecast down the road, let's say they beat Atlanta. All right, one step at a time. But let's go to the end of the season. Let's say they do win the World Series or they don't. One thing is for sure, Clayton Kershaw can opt out.
Right.
He's got two years left on his deal. I think he's making like $35 million a year.
Correct.
Now, you would only opt out, correct me if I'm wrong, you played, if you believe there was more money down the road.
Correct.
If you didn't believe that, you'd stay with $70 million guaranteed. Do you think he opts out?
I don't. I don't think so. I think that, you look up and say, you know, you've got two more years left, and as you mentioned, $70 million left to play out with the Dodgers.
And I'll be specific at $64
million. $64 million, whatever it is. Okay, so $64 million. You've had a great run. You've made a lot of money over your 10-year span. You say you opt out. Who at this point in your career is going to give you more than that? Maybe it's a four-year deal. I don't think anybody goes beyond 4 years for Clayton Kershaw at this point in his career. So, you know, you go 4 years, maybe you get $20 million or $25 million. You know, is that really worth it to try to go somewhere else at the end of your career or maintain your career and be a Dodger? And maybe the Dodgers step up and say, hey, we want to make you a Dodger for life. We'll give you an extension, you know, and keep him here another 4 years if that's possible, or 6 years or whatever it may be. But if I'm him, I'm opting in, and I think he will.
All right, Mark Walter has said, the owner of the Dodgers, chairman of Guggenheim, the chairman of the Dodgers, that, yeah, we want him to be a lifetime Dodger. So that's something they already have said, and the guy in charge has said it. But that being said, how long is your life? Now, if he has 2 years left and he opts out, would you sign him for more than 3 or 4 years? Because I have to tell you, I wouldn't. There's no way. I mean, I would, if he opted out, give him a new 3-year deal. Because I think after 3 years, you're going to hit diminishing returns. You kind of are already.
Right.
So, I mean, if you went longer than that, now you're going to have Albert Pujols on your hands.
Yeah. And if I'm Clayton Kershaw, and he's, you know, he's a smart guy, he's got smart people around him, I got to really look at the situation realistically. And to what you just said, look, I got probably 3 good ones left, you know, because it is already starting to decline. And this organization has been good to me. I don't want to strap them either. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like Pujols is coming from somewhere else and say, I don't care about the Angels. You know, I didn't spend my life there. I was a St. Louis guy, and then they decided to give me and back up the truck and give me all the money in the world. But I think Clayton would look at it and go, the Dodgers have been good to me. I love this organization. Yeah, I wanted 5 years. They give me 3 years. Let's roll it out and call it a day. And who knows? He may have a rebirth after 3 years, and then they got to make a decision. But if you're the Dodgers, I don't think you go past that.
All right, Dave Roberts, report this morning from Bill Shaken of the Times. Dave Roberts now in negotiations with the Dodgers. Two sources that remain unnamed have confirmed that to Bill. Are you surprised it's taken this long, or have these talks actually been going on?
Yeah, you know, I'm surprised that it's been out there and gone on this long. I think that it should have gotten taken care of. That being said, I think there have been many discussions with him throughout the summer. And who knows? A lot of times, you know, managers, coaches, and even, you know, sometimes even players will say, look, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to talk about this until the end of the season. Let's just deal with it then. But it leads to all the speculation from people like us. They talk, what's the deal? The Dodgers are struggling. Are they going to sign Dave Roberts back? And we get calls, Roberts got to go, and they're in a skid or whatever. But now they're into the playoffs. I think it sends a great message if they can get something done and just have that just totally behind them.
And it pops out at the right time after they won the West.
Right.
You know, if they lose, it's a different story.
Right.
So, yeah, it kind of leaked out at the right time. And by the way, if you didn't see it last night, the marathon, the Rockies. And yesterday I did say when it came to that game, they had hope. I want that on the record. They had no hope against the Dodgers. But yesterday against the Cubs, I said they had hope. They go into Chicago. They beat the Cubs. Somebody stole the Cubs' bat the last month, and that was the problem there.
Yeah.
But congratulations to the Rockies. They earned the trip an hour up, an hour and a half up to play the Brewers now.
Oh, you know.
Thank you, Jason.
Just real quick on that game. I did watch it and kept watching because you can't turn it off because you're figuring out who's going to play who. But it was really interesting in that game. And you talk about the analytics and where games are nowadays and how games are managed nowadays. I mean, you're going into extra innings, and you no longer have Charlie Blackmon, right? You go into extra innings, and the Cubs no longer have Anthony Rizzo in the lineup. And these guys, their position is batting 3 more times in that game, and they don't come up. So it's just a crazy way this game has changed. Could you imagine, you know, that, you know, ninth inning comes, and for whatever reason, you take Justin Turner out of the game, and the game goes 15 innings. You know, what do you, and you don't have him.
Are they overmanaging?
I think so.
Well, in that situation, though, guys, that guy stole the base to tie it up.
Right.
I mean, he's going to go down in lore if they win that game as the Dave Roberts of the Cubs this year, you know, stealing that one base.
When he came in for Rizzo, yeah.
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 So at the time, it was a genius decision. I don't think they weren't planning on another five innings.
Maybe so.
But you're right. But Rizzo came out three more times.
Yeah, maybe so. But he's still, it's like, do you risk that and do you take Justin Turner out of the game for LeCastro?
Tough decision. When I saw it happen, I'm like, wow, that's a ballsy call.
Yeah, well, he made it.
Yeah.
And we know how it ended up. So the guy that stole the base, he stole one base.
He stole one base and scored, and then he struck out on a bad pitch.
And that was that. So the Rockies advance. And it's what? The A's and Yankees today.
Yes.
A's and Yankees in the American League wild card, and Oakland goes with a bullpen game.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I mean, it's a one-game playoff, all or nothing, all hands on deck. I mean, and you're going with a guy that, what, he had one start?
He's 0-1
this year. 0-1 this year, and wasn't with the team the whole season, was he?
He was, like, put on assignment and picked up off the garbage heap.
Yeah. How do you – I don't understand. How do you not go with your guy in a one game? I mean, think about it. The Dodgers planned for the one game 163 and saving Walker Buehler so he could go out and be lights out like he was. And the A's are in a one game playoff with the Yankees, and they're going through a bullpen session with a guy that's 0-1 that was on assignment halfway through the season.
So there are two teams, basically, Rodney, that are involved in the postseason because the A's are, that nobody knows about. The A's and the Braves. When we come back, we'll have someone tell us about the Braves. So when you watch the game, you'll know who those guys are. Two of the top heavyweight boxers in the world are headed to L.A. to announce their fight in December. Go see world champion 6'7" Deontay Wilder face off with his opponent, 6'9" Tyson Fury. The press conference today, 12:30, at the Novo at L.A. Live. It's open to the public. Jason, what's up at 12:30?
A really good segment's on at 12:30. But also, did you guys know that Odds Sharks has the Yankees as the odds-on favorite to come out of the American League? The Yankees.
Who does? I saw something different.
Or do they?
Ah.
Ah.
We'll get to that at 12:30. When we come back. When we come back, let's figure out who the Braves are. It's Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports.
Is that true, Fred?
Pardon me?
Is that true?
What, Post Malone?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it means.
Mailman, Karl Malone.
Right.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
Everybody knows that.
Just
checking to make sure you knew.
I got it. Post Malone is
right.
The end of the Karl Malone era.
Right.
That's right. Don't think I'm not hip, because I am. Don't think I don't get it, because I do. How about you get this? How about we put a grand in your hand?
Are we going to put a grand in your hand?
Oh, we're going to put a grand in somebody's
hand. You sure?
That's our goal. We want to give somebody $1,000.
How we do that?
Well, we're going to do it by giving them the cue to call and... No, text. We'll give you the cue to text.
Now is the time.
Oh, my God.
Grab your phone, win $1,000.
Woo! Money.
Text the keyword money to 200-200. That's money to 200-200.
Ding.
You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard message and data rates apply.
Good luck.
By the way, if you text in and your phone rings, answer the phone, for God's sakes. How else are you going to win? Block number, unknown number, could be anybody calling you, but if you text in and then your phone rings and you don't know the number, you need to answer it, because that's how we're going to put a grand in your hand. All right, who are the Atlanta Braves? Seriously, the Dodgers open against them, and don't lie and say you know who they are. We need to find out. And the man that will provide that information, Rodney, from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, is Gabe Burns. And Gabe, thank you for jumping on today.
Yeah, sure thing, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, who's more surprised? You or everybody in baseball that the Braves are where they're at?
I mean, it really is. Other than the A's, who were just incredible in their own right, like, this is really one of the biggest surprise stories we've seen in quite a long time. I think even the optimists would tell you they would probably win like 81 or 82 games at best. And those were people who were probably looking at it glass half full. I mean, I projected 78. So they end up winning 90, and they kind of cooled down a little bit that last week, so they could have very well reached 92 or 93. So it really is impressive. The kids, they look like seasoned veterans. I mean, Ronald Acuna, of course, is like baseball's newest. He and Juan Soto are baseball's newest young stars, and they move him to lead off. He galvanizes the whole team. It's hard to get this guy out. Teams started having to throw at him. They didn't know how to get him out. I mean, it's like this team has really just come together. And so it's really interesting that they end up getting the Dodgers, because for a team that hasn't been there, there's only two guys left from that series in 2013. So for a team that hasn't been here before to face a team who's here every year, I'm really interested to see how that dynamic plays out.
And to that end, Gabe, you know, the Braves have kind of been sitting there for the last week as the West has been fighting it out. And then, you know, as we witnessed, the Central and the West have to play a 163rd game to figure out who wins the division and who goes to the wild card. How do you see it play out? What's the feeling over there about, you know, the Dodgers or the Rockies and them playing an extra game and the feeling of coming out to L.A. now playing the Dodgers?
Well, it's interesting because, like, we were talking to former Dodger Charlie Culberson about this, and he was pointing out a lot of times in baseball, the team that plays that is a good thing. They end up getting hot at the right time and yada, yada, yada. So it's kind of interesting. They're the only team that really sat that day out. So you can look at that in a couple of different ways. I mean, maybe you do want to be playing because they did clinch a week early when all these other teams were fighting for their lives that week. So, yeah, I think they're feeling really confident. This is a team that, despite having a lot of kids, no moment seems to be too big. Naturally, you're probably going to see some of these guys press at some point just because that's human nature. You know, nothing seems to really faze them. So I think more than anything, they'll be excited to come out there and play in front of Dodger Stadium and to be in that moment. But we'll see how that kind of goes. Because again, they're an unseasoned bunch, and there's only two guys left from the last time these teams faced off. And I think that's really just how they handle these first two games. If they can end up stealing one out here, that could really play into their favor, of course.
And to that end, I know players won't ever say anything about this that I'm about to ask you, but from the sentiment that you get, do they prefer the matchup with the Dodgers, or would they have preferred the matchup with the Rockies?
Well, it's tough to say. Yeah, the players wouldn't say that, because I tried to get it out of some of them, and they just wouldn't really do it. So when they played the Rockies at home, I think they got four games swept, and I think that was about the worst that they have looked this year. I ran a poll on Twitter, and 80% of Braves fans voted they wanted Colorado. And I think that the reasons why are pretty obvious. And I think that you play a team like Colorado that doesn't have – sure, they made it last year, but they don't have as much experience. They don't really understand what it takes, because like we saw with the Dodgers, you know, that's a team that when it really mattered most at the very end, they won those four straight games, and they know what they have to do. They were just in the World Series. So I think naturally you would probably prefer the Rockies just because of that aspect of it. But, I mean, again, like the way some of these guys are looking at it, a lot of these Braves are just, you know, they're happy to be here. I mean, no one really expected them to be here. And, I mean, the reality is if they do lose the series, this season is still such a colossal success for them that they would – hold their heads high anyway.
Gabe Burns, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, with us, AM570 LA Sports, Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete. Okay, for people in Los Angeles that don't know the Braves, and quite frankly, most people in Los Angeles don't know the Braves, you mentioned Acuna.
Mm-hmm.
We know you have Freddie Freeman. Who else should fans look out for and talk about the Braves pitching?
So one guy that could really... I have a feeling that he'll have a big impact in this series is Johan Camargo, the third baseman. He wasn't a top prospect, which kind of makes him different from most of the other Braves young guys, because you hear about all these guys coming through the minors, and this guy compares to so and so, and all the hype with Acuna, and Albies had a huge first half. Camargo was never really a highly rated prospect. He came up, he looked like a utility guy, kind of similar to Charlie Culberson, a little more athletic. And he ends up kind of blowing up. And he hit 19 homers. he seemed, his power projection is nothing like what people thought when he was in the minors, and he looks like he could be a full-time third baseman, which is huge for a team that they have Austin Riley, who's a top third base prospect, that they were looking at maybe free agency trades. How are they going to address third? Well, this guy, he's a solid defender. He's probably going to hit in the two spot in this series. So they would go Acuna, Camargo, Freeman, and Markakis as their top four, which those four will probably determine their offensive output in this series. So I do think Camargo's a switch hitter as well. I do think he's going to have a huge impact. And as far as the pitching goes, Mike Foltynewicz is going to start game one. He's a flamethrower. He's kind of taken – he was an all-star. He's kind of taken control of the number one spot in the rotation. Fully expect him to be hitting 99 out of the gate tomorrow night. So then they've got kind of – they haven't let on yet. We have a workout tonight at Dodger Stadium that perhaps we'll get more info there. But we don't really know yet how they're going to line up their rotation afterwards. We know that Anibal Sanchez and Kevin Gausman, who they acquired from the Orioles at the deadline, are probably going to pitch game two and game three. Game four is up in the air because they're considering Sean Newcomb, who would be their only lefty, to start in this series, which is notable, which is why he's getting as much consideration. Dodgers fans may remember him because he carried the no-hitter within one out in the last time these two teams played. And then there's Julio Teheran, who's he was their five-time opening day starter. He's kind of been pushed down in the rotation now that they've, guys kind of come into their own. So, and he's not really a guy you'd want coming out of the bullpen because more often than not, his worst inning is his first. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how they end up playing that and if they decide to go ahead and start four righties or if they give Newcomb, who's kind of tailed off here in the last few weeks, a chance to go against the Dodgers again.
Hey, Gabe, you mentioned Charlie Culberson quite a bit, and he's a guy out here in Dodgerland that people still have fond memories of. They loved him when he was a Dodger, obviously came through several times. But a guy that was a Dodger, then at a Brave, and has come back and resurrected his career is Matt Kemp, was an all-star this year. What's the feeling in Atlanta about Matt Kemp?
It's a bit kind of carefree when it comes to Kemp because it's more apathetic just because they were not any good when he was there. And so the city was more focused on the Acunas, the Albies, Mike Soroka, a lot of these top young guys. They were kind of more the focus almost than a guy like Kemp was. Now, but just because the team was, they were just being sold on minor leaguers while the team kind of struggled. And last year was really the first time that people kind of went back to, okay, how are we going to piece this team together? Because it looks like in 2018, they could be a 500 team. And Matt Kemp kind of, he put on weight, and it kind of became a thing where they prioritized moving on from him. I think it was best for both parties. And obviously I know Kemp has kind of tailed off lately, but with the start he had, I think it was best for him as well. So they ended up, of course, Alex Anthopoulos, the Braves GM, who was in the Dodgers front office for the past couple of years, managed to work out that, high salary swap that ended up sending Kemp back and then bringing in Culberson. And Culberson has been one of the most valuable, best players on this team. So I think that really worked out better than even Anthopoulos could have imagined.
All right, Gabe, we appreciate you jumping on. We'll see if they get that workout in. It's supposed to rain this afternoon.
Oh, that's crazy. Of course, the Braves have had more rain delays this year. So just the fact they come to L.A. and it ends up raining, that figures.
All right, good. We blame the Braves. All right, Gabe, thanks so much. We'll see you out at the stadium.
Sure thing, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabe. There he goes. Gabe Burns, Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Now, at the very least, you have an idea of who those guys are. You want to win Dodger postseason tickets starting at 2 today. Join Petros and Money at Outback Steakhouse in Arcadia. It's your chance to win playoff tickets to games Thursday or Friday. And meet Dodger legend Ron Say at 5 p.m. The Dodgers are blooming, and it's time to celebrate. Outback Steakhouse is located at 166th East Huntington Drive in Arcadia.
Is it real?
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Or fake news?
Fake.
Real and Fake, of course, is brought to you by our good friend, personal injury attorney Joseph S. Normand, 866-777-0677. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. You're a good person. And if it happens to you, you need to call Joseph S. Normand, 866-777-0677. A return appearance today to compete our dear friend, Michelle from sales. Hello, Michelle.
Hello. Thank you for having me back.
Well, thank you for returning.
Hello, Michelle.
I'm ready. Nevelos. I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. You fired up?
I'm fired up.
Okay.
Nevelos.
That's right.
Is that the one you like?
That's the one I like.
Nevelos.
That's the one I hate. Don't play that ever again, Jason.
Nevelos.
I said don't play that.
Dodgers are the odds-on favorite to win the National League pennant. The Yankees are the odds-on favorite to win the American League pennant. Odd Shark has listed the Dodgers as plus 140 odds to win the National League. The odds-on favorite to win the American League is the Yankees at plus 320. Rodney, I have a feeling you know this one. Is it real or fake?
Oh, let's see, Fred. Astros are good.
Yeah.
Red Sox are really good.
They are good, sure.
I like the Yankees, but no. I'm going to go fake here, Michelle.
He's going fake.
I'm going fake.
I agree. That just seems a little too much. I absolutely agree with him.
But unlike Rodney, you didn't actually see the answer ahead of time in your run.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
Never lost.
It happened to fall on my desk.
Got it.
Yeah, okay. If you had not got that one, since you held it up and showed it to me, I thought, oh, well.
I kind of got follow the lead there a little bit.
A little bit. But you go first this time.
Okay.
Well, now, no one knows these.
Okay.
You know who Neil deGrasse is?
Sure. Not really.
Good.
Okay, hold on.
It's Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Smartest guy in the world there, Fred Rogan.
Okay, well, obviously the smartest guy in the world was not talking about it.
Oh.
That was
not
me.
It was not Drake from Degrassi, Fred.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Okay.
Who wrote this? Jason?
Can we clear that up?
Now I know who he is.
Yes.
You don't know who
he is. I have
no
idea. Okay.
All right.
Nuclear physicist. He's the smartest guy in the world.
Okay, thank you.
The smartest guy in the world.
Okay.
Scientifically predicts LeBron James' retirement at 38. We now have a scientific answer to how long LeBron James has to play, and the answer is 38 years old. That's the word from the man who was in the field of biogenics. He said that LeBron hasn't... You know, Kevin, I don't like... I think that was so inappropriate that you jumped in like that.
I just wanted to make sure that we got it correct.
Degrassi was a very popular program.
It was. People love it. Canadian kids.
All right, I didn't read it. Anyway, this guy says
Ariana
LeBron.
Grande in there, too? I think she was in Degrassi or something like that.
All right, he's done at 38, according to this
Selena
guy.
Gomez was there, too, I believe.
Yeah, I think she's in here. Anyway, LeBron's done at 38 due to his skill of enabling the players around him.
I mean, where did that come from? Like, that either totally happened or totally didn't, but I feel like it didn't. I don't know.
So what are you saying?
I think no. I think it's...
You're saying it's fake.
I think it's fake. And
maybe because of the way I read it.
Maybe. But I never go against the smartest guy in the world.
Right.
So I'm going real.
Yeah, you're right.
It's real, boy. It's real. It's real, boy. It's real. It's going bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not good.
That's not good.
That's okay.
But I now know who he is, at least. I learned something.
Know.
Check. Okay.
Michelle, let me ask you a question. Let's say this guy, the smartest guy in the world, said to you, hey, I want to warn you about something. You're going to walk out of the building, you're going to go across the crosswalk, and you're going to get clipped by a car. You don't think he's the smartest guy in the world, and you get clipped by the car. You're in the crosswalk. Is that your fault?
Nope.
Of course it's not your fault. A car just hit you.
I think, no, you're right.
Who are you going to call?
I think Joseph S. Normand is going to be the smartest guy in the world at that point. That's who I'm calling.
Look at Michelle.
866.
Bringing it.
777-0677.
Are you in sales?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Just checking.
I'm trying to be.
Thor spends just 20 minutes a day working out.
Who?
Thor.
Thor?
Thor.
Like the real Thor?
Chris
Hammer?
Chris Hemsworth, most known for his role as Marvel's Thor, works out for 20 minutes a day, 6 days a week, which is what he said during a recent interview with Men's Health magazine. 20 minutes a day, Rodney, is that real or fake?
Wow. And that's Thor.
That's Thor.
Sometimes genetics win over, Fred.
Look at me.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, it took me a long time to get this body, my friend.
You know, I don't know if that's true, but I do believe he said it just for effect so people go, wow, you only work out 20 minutes a day and you're ripped and chiseled like that. I'm saying that's real.
Saying it's real, Michelle.
Can I get a visual so I can actually...
You don't know Chris Hemsworth?
Of course I do. I'm kidding. Wanted to see a picture.
Oh.
Is that... No, just kidding.
I bet you did.
I feel...
I thought you wanted somebody in the room to take off their shirt.
I just was like, oh, okay.
He was in vacation, too.
I know exactly. And I'm going to agree with Rodney. I feel like there's maybe some sneaking in more than 20 minutes a day, but I think he probably did say that.
You saying it's real?
I think it's real.
It's real, boy. It's real.
All right.
It's real, boy. It's real.
Nibble up.
Can't do that on a win, on a right answer. Jason.
Michelle, you're down one.
Okay, I'm ready.
LeBron James' diet includes wine pretty much every day. Oh, we have the same diet. When in the offseason, LeBron James says he strictly eats only meat, fish, veggies. During the regular season, it's a different story. And what is the most important daily regimen that the NBA superstar stands by? He says, I'm playing the best basketball of my life, and I'm drinking some wine pretty much every day. Michelle, is that real or fake?
I think it's real. I think it's real. Just a little bit every day. That's good for him.
Heart smart.
Absolutely.
Rodney?
Did you see him drink that tequila on Ellen?
I did.
Yeah, so it's not out of the realm. And I believe he has a label or something like that, or winery he's involved
Doesn't in. Mean he has to drink his own stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's good for the heart, Fred.
That's not, I know.
You know what I mean? I'm going to go real.
You're going real?
Yeah.
All right.
It's real, boy.
It's all never right.
Lost. It's real, boy. It's never lost.
Okay, you're still down one.
Okay.
Four arrested in series of celebrity home burglaries, including thefts involving Yasiel Puig's home. The LAPD announced yesterday the four people have been arrested in a suspected celebrity burglary ring. The homes of Rihanna, Yasiel Puig, Robert Woods were targets in the ring. Among the suspects is the 42-year-old father of Millie Bobby Brown, or what?
Who wrote this?
Among the suspects is the 42-year-old father
of Millie Vanilli?
Of Millie Bobby Brown, star of Stranger Things on Netflix.
Oh, it's an
oh, yeah, no, I've watched all those.
Millie
all
Bobby right. Brown, she won an Emmy, Fred.
Okay.
Everyone knows Millie Bobby Brown.
Who doesn't? Rodney, is that real or fake?
Wait, that they got arrested? Or that you know Millie Bobby Brown?
Well, we know it's fake if you thought I knew Millie Bobby Brown, but Millie Bobby Brown is one of the suspects.
No, the father of Millie Bobby Brown.
Yes.
But they arrested him. Is that's the real or fake? Is it they arrested the
Among
people?
The suspects is the 42-year-old father of Millie Bobby Brown.
Of these celebrity break-ins.
Yes.
Real.
Saying it's real.
Yes.
I think it's real too. I know there was a celebrity ring, and it's a crazy person to come up with if it wasn't real. So yeah,
you're saying it's real.
I'm real.
Okay, both say it's real. I've never heard of Millie Bobby Brown. With all due respect to Millie, and
Bobby Brown,
and Bobby Brown,
or Millie Vanilli.
I've heard of them, but to be honest with you, I haven't heard of them and her whatever, and it's fake.
What? It's all fake news. It's phony
turned
stuff.
Around. All of them were going, shaking their heads like, oh.
Where did that come from? Oh, they knew the answer?
They did.
All right, this is it now.
Okay, I'm turning around this next time. So I need some help here. Although I can't win, can I?
Shoot. No. You can only tie.
Okay, I'll take that.
This is it. Malik Monk forgot his jersey, so he had to go back to the locker room. Hornets guard Malik Monk got called into the game as a reserve last night in their preseason contest. The problem was that he was only wearing an undershirt. He returned to the locker room to put his jersey on. Michelle, the best you can do is tie.
Any help?
Don't look at them.
I really think it's yes. Yes, I got thumbs ups from some help in the room.
Here's the problem.
No pressure.
No, but here's the problem.
Yeah.
By turning around and looking at them.
Tell her the problem, Fred.
Rodney saw the exact same thing.
I know.
And what do I do, Fred? What do I do?
You play to win.
I play to win, yes. Real.
Thanks, guys.
Congratulations, Rodney.
Winner, winner. Michelle.
Chicken
pleasure,
dinner.
Pleasure doing business with you.
Thank you very much. Yes. All right, play the other Never Lost. Okay.
No.
Never Lost.
If you won, I would allow you to play the other Never Lost. In fact, you got to do a Never Lost for us.
I never
so
lost.
So we can get a... Oh, that was a good one.
That wasn't me, though.
That was Lindsay.
That was Lindsay.
I never lost. No, that was terrible.
Wait. No, do it again.
Okay. Never lost.
I like it.
No,
never lost.
A little more breathy and whispery.
Never lost. Can't. It's too much pressure.
More Kim Carnes.
Never lost. Never lost. Okay.
Okay, one of those is going to work.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Right. Bye, guys.
Thanks, Michelle.
Go Dodgers.
Easy win.
Yes. I thought you were talking about the Dodgers. You've been in an accident, the medical and hospital bills, lost wages, pain and suffering. Personal injury attorney Joseph S. Narmond and his team are the guys I trust to get you the maximum compensation. He's not one of those volume lawyers that takes anything and everything and settles them all cheap. He's shrewd. He's selective. If Joseph takes your case, he believes in it. It's personal. He won't stop short of getting you top dollar results. Accident victims receive nearly 3 times larger settlements when they have legal representation. Joseph has settled recent cases for millions, and he wants to help you. Don't surrender to the command of the insurance companies. Joseph S. Narmont is a grand slam. Call him, 866-777-0677. He's our guy, 866-777-0677, the law offices of Joseph S. Narmont. Charger fans, we've got something for you to hear. Raider fans, we've got something for you to hear. That's next. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. All right, so on Sunday, next hour we'll get into the Lakers, LeBron James last night at Staples. But on Sunday, the Chargers will be hosting the Raiders. So in essence, it will be a home game for the Raiders at StubHub. And even when they played in San Diego, the Raiders always dominated the crowd down there.
Yeah, they did. The Raiders travel, obviously, it's one of the big iconic brands. And like you said, I played for the Raiders for a couple years, and I remember going to San Diego those couple years, and they were just as many Raider fans as there were Charger fans down in San Diego. And for the last 2 years, the Chargers have been in L.A., which is the Raider fans still believe that L.A. is all about the Raiders. It's a Raider town. So there will be a lot of Raider fans at StubHub because the stadium is not as large. But it's a little bit different. I mean, Raider Nation is loyal. They're all of that. But they just came off their first win against the Browns, which they had to go to overtime to do. The John Gruden factor is large. I still believe that there will be a lot more Raider fans in the crowd than there will be Charger fans. I mean, and we saw that with the Chiefs. We see that a lot of teams that come to StubHub, but the Raider fans are unique in their own right.
Yeah, I'd take that bet. Not even an issue. Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be a Raider crowd there. And Philip Rivers was on with Colin this morning, and he talked about that.
When you walk into that stadium and you see all the black and silver, does it bother you a little?
I think to answer you truthfully, deep down it does. Deep down it does a little bit. But I think having last year to get used to it a little bit and having had the experience of 65,000 Charger fans there over my career, that I'm able to deal with it. It is what it is right now. For our young guys, I think maybe it's a little getting used to, even last week. You know, Derwin James comes in here from Florida State, you know, and trots out there and is like, wait a minute, I'm used to 75,000 fans at home games in Florida State. So I think for the young guys, it's not what maybe they expected. I think for the guys that were here last year that experienced it a little bit, we know how to handle it. And I also still think it comes down to continuing to find a way to win football games. Last year, late in the year, it really, the environment started to change a little bit. And you mentioned, I mean, the Raiders and Niners, and some games are going to be that way. But I think if we can get on a roll here, and we got a chance against a division opponent to win our second one in a row and hopefully get on a little bit of a roll, I think late in December over at the StubHub, it'll be all right.
Yeah, but this is not late December. And I like his honesty.
I love his honesty, Fred. I think that was really refreshing because he was being honest. And, you know, and for me, I was on both sides of this. I played and started in Detroit, and, you know, Detroit had a number of years before I got there that were struggled, you know, and we were not a very good football team. We kind of turned it around a little bit, but we would play Green Bay in Detroit, and there would be just as many Packer fans as there would be Lions fans. So it was very difficult. Then I played in Dallas for a year, and we would come into town and take over the stadium. I mean, the Cowboy Mania, much like, you know, I was talking about with the Raiders, we'd go to Arizona or we would go any place, maybe other than Washington or Philadelphia. It would be majority Cowboy fans, and I did feel bad for those players on that team because it was kind of demoralized. You expect it when you go on the road, but when you're playing at home, you want some sort of home field advantage, and when you don't have that, it does bother you.
Well, one thing, fans in this market will be huge winners on Sunday because the game will be televised locally because it's the Chargers. And I think the last 2 weeks, we didn't get the Raiders in L.A., because, you know, you got to carry the Rams and Chargers. And the Raider games always, always produce good numbers for television. So I think the fans will be happy that the Raiders are here playing the Chargers because they'll get the game this weekend.
Yeah, no, they'll be happy. And it won't be a question of whether or not it'll be a sellout either at StubHub.
Yeah, that won't be an issue. As a matter of fact, here's a factoid for you. This week on the secondary market, Charger tickets are going above face value. Following this week, they are selling for below face value.
Oh, really?
On the secondary market.
So because of the Raider factor, they're going above market value.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So if you want to see the Chargers, but actually want to see the Chargers, don't go this way.
Wait, what are you saying?
Well, I'm saying if you want to see the Chargers, but actually do want to see them, then don't worry about going this Sunday because you get tickets cheaper after they play the Raiders.
Is that code for you want to see the Chargers, but you really want to see the Raiders?
Right. So I'm saying if you really want to see the Chargers, don't worry about this Sunday. You'll have plenty of opportunities for less money following this Sunday's game. All right. So LeBron was at Staples last night. Everybody was out there. I've got some takeaways. If you were out there, you can let us know what it was like. Call us next hour, 866-777. No, that's Joseph S. Nermod.
If you're in an accident.
Oh, hell, you know the number. Just call if you want to talk about the Lakers. If you were out there last night, because I've got some observations. Or call Joseph S. Nermod if that strikes you.
He's got observations as well.
Yeah. LeBron?
No, Joseph S. Nermod.
Everybody's got an observation. Yes. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Everybody's got an opinion. We have some students from Cal State LA in here. They've been watching us, asking us questions. We were telling them everybody's got an opinion. LeBron, Joseph S. Nermod, Rodney, myself, and the five of you. All right, so we'll get to the Lakers next hour. It's Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. All right, don't forget, coming up this weekend, it's the 66th annual California RV Show. So it'll start on Friday at the Pomona Fairgrounds. And then it will continue on through the 14th. We'll be out there broadcasting live, as a matter of fact, on Friday. Roddy and myself will be out there looking forward to it. We get to ride around in a giant golf cart and check out all the RVs. And there are so many of them. Over 1,300 new 2019 RVs in every class from all major manufacturers with the most competitive prices around. 17 dealers, 40 brands. They're all competing for your business. You want an RV? You want to hit the road? You want to unshackle yourself? You want to act like you're in control of your life? This is your opportunity. And here's why. You are going to get the very best deal on an RV or trailer you will get all year long. Factory reps will be on hand. It's the largest consumer RV show in the nation. You think I'm kidding you? They draw 15,000 people to this thing. They sell thousands of RVs. What are you waiting for if you've even considered the possibility of hitting the open road? You need to be at the Fairplex in Pomona starting Friday. It runs through the 14th. Fun attractions, seminars, great food, family-friendly festival atmosphere. You might even win a Lance Trailer RV. So don't wait. Get discount tickets now at thebestrvshow.com. That's discount tickets at thebestrvshow.com. 66th Annual California RV Show, October 5th through the 14th at the Fairplex in Pomona. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. Let's get into the Lakers, but Kevin, what's coming up at 1:30?
Fred, a professional athlete has received a endorsement for a toilet paper company.
Oh.
From Nancy?
No, it is not from Nancy by the bathroom.
Nancy by the can?
It is not Nancy by the bathroom. It had nothing to do with it, at least as far as I know.
Oh, the can guardian did not.
Yeah, the can guardian had nothing to do with this endorsement.
Fred, when she comes on, she's going to be mad at you.
She's going right after you, Fred.
You know what she might do? Bark like a dog?
Oh, no.
She may. She's done it
before. If you ask nicely.
I don't think I even have to ask. That won't even be an issue, Rodney. I think
she'll just jump right in. She'll volunteer that. Oh, my goodness. Can we get rid of that never lost drop from her, though?
Oh, that's the worst.
Yes, it is.
I was going to say that was the best, but no, it's worst. Yeah. All right. So last night, Staples Center. LeBron James makes his Staples Center debut. It's a preseason game. It means absolutely nothing. Guys are still getting to know each other. Luke Walton has had the offense in for about 8 days. It was sold out.
Yeah.
Staples Center was sold out for a preseason game that means absolutely nothing. It shows you how starved people are for the Lakers and success and LeBron James.
Yeah, and what it said to me, more so than, okay, it's sold out. And I talked about this last hour about, you know, I've never had any kind of interest in basketball NBA preseason. But I was intrigued, as most people were, about this Lakers team this year and LeBron being here, because it is must-watch TV, and the Lakers are going to be the most interesting team in the NBA. But the excitement, the engagement, it's one thing to have it all sold out, right? And you were there, and I want you to speak to this. But the atmosphere at Staples Center, it just from the optics watching it on TV, felt like it was a regular season game in March, like leading up to the playoffs. I mean, people were into it. They were cheering. They were on their feet. To me, so that was like the biggest thing that stood out to me. It was like, not only was it sold out, but people were cheering. They were going crazy. It was a great atmosphere. What was it like being there?
Well, that's what it was. And let's be really honest. I mean, I was sitting there. The game starts. I'm watching it. I understand it's a preseason game. And honestly, it was hard to watch. I mean, that beginning was tough to watch. It wasn't very good. Let's call it the way it is. It's exhibition right. basketball, and guys are trying to learn each other. And it was tough to watch. And I sat there, and I came away with a couple of observations. First, people desperately want the Lakers to win. They desperately want them to succeed. And they're going to succeed. And you know, I've gone on record as saying they're going to win 50 games. A couple of observations. One, LeBron James is the best player on the planet. By far, the end. We're not even going to discuss it. Rajon Rondo is a perfect fit to play with LeBron James. Makes all the sense in the world. JaVale McGee, I think he's going to have a pretty good year. I like him.
Yeah.
Other than that, everybody kind of, you know, hold on to your hat, because it's going to take a while. And that's what I saw coming away from last night. It's going to take a
while.
So
is it a manage your expectations again kind of situation?
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, people should be excited. I still think they'll win 50 games. I still think they'll get to the second round of the playoffs. But this is going to take a while. And that's what I saw last night. Brandon Ingram, when you actually watch him, yeah, he's a really talented guy. He still weighs 1 ounce. Any way you look at it, the guy still weighs an ounce.
Yeah, he's still thin man.
Right, and he's still got to grow, but he's still young, and he will. He has all the talent in the world. Kyle Kuzma did not have an exceptionally effective night. I watched him. The problem with Kyle Kuzma, everybody knows him now.
Yeah.
You can't hide anymore. You're not going to spot up over there on the side. Guys are going to play you tough.
You know, and watching them early in, you know, the first couple of games, and especially, you know, last night, I get the sense that the young guys, it is going to take a minute for them to get going.
Longer than I thought.
Yeah, because when you play with someone like a LeBron James, the first thing you're excited, number one, obviously, and you're playing with the best guys, best player on the planet. And you can tell yourself all you want to that, hey, he's just another guy. He's my teammate. I'm going to play with him. But you're still out there trying to impress him. You're trying to do things right for him, which sometimes doesn't allow you just to be you. So that takes some time to get used to. And I think LeBron is good about engaging people. He's not a guy, he wants everyone involved. So I see these guys at some point going to start really clicking to the point where these young guys are going to be so much better because they're playing with LeBron and understanding that, not because they want to make him happy, but because he's going to make them better players.
Right.
I remember, you know, even this was late in my career, I played with the Raiders and we signed Jerry Rice, right? Jerry Rice came to the Raiders and played, and I remember, you know, in practice, it's like, this is Jerry Rice, right? So every time I was throwing routes to Jerry Rice, we were in 7-on-7 or we're in practice or in scrimmage or whatever it was, I wanted to make sure that every pass was on the money. You know, I could miss a little behind somebody else. I was not missing to Jerry Rice.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm putting this on the money to Jerry Rice because he's Jerry Rice. And so I think that's a little bit what these guys are feeling right now with LeBron. But I think in the end, it is going to make them all better.
Has to.
Yeah. He's going to elevate every one of their games, and I can already see it. And to your point, I think Rondo is the perfect fit.
Yeah, I think Rondo is going to work well. I like McGee. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Josh Hart. I'll be honest with you. I don't know who the two will be. I mean, Pope's got to hit that three. He's got to knock them down.
That's what he's there for.
He's got to knock them down. Just throw everything else out. If the guy doesn't hit the three, what's he doing there? So I don't know who's going to play that two. I don't know if it's going to be Hart. I don't know if it's going to be Pope. I don't know how long each one of them will play. That's a battle that will take place. Other thing I noticed, don't know if you agree with this, I watched last night, and again, it's the preseason, acknowledged. Luke Walton.
Yeah.
Better get those guys long-term on the same page and playing well. It's only the preseason. I get it. But, you know, just watching them last night.
What do you mean by that, Fred?
You know what I get the sense, Rodney?
Yeah.
I didn't believe this. So my mind changed. I get the sense he might not be the coach.
Really?
Just watching it last
really?
Night. Really? And I can't specifically tell you why, but as I observed it, I watched him.
Do you feel like he's not totally in control of the team, or they're not buying into what he's trying to do? I mean, why are you saying that right now?
I'm not saying that they're not going to buy in initially. I don't know if he's going to be the guy. I hope he is, because I love Luke.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he's going to be the guy to get him to the next level.
And you're saying this after two preseason games.
I know.
You know?
And it's odd.
Is it his body language? Like, is it the way he's communicating with the guys?
Maybe it was his body language. I was just watching him. I guess at this point in time, you need somebody right now up, coaching, talking to these guys, telling them where to be. I know it's a game situation, but still, like a Pat Riley.
Yeah.
Pat Riley wasn't going to stand over there. I mean, he was in it. He was engaged in it. And I know it's only the preseason. And I just got the sense that maybe he might be a little too mellow. Mm. I understand that you have to coach very differently than you did years ago to communicate with young players. But now you have LeBron James. And now you have Rondo. And now you have McGee. I mean, the guy that really caught my eye last night because he's completely out of his mind was Lance Stephenson.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, you know, shake and bake and pulling up for three and moving the ball around. But those are veterans.
Right.
And that's different. It's different now. You've got veterans and the young guys.
The balance is what you're saying. How do you get that balance with the young guys?
I don't know if he's the guy. I don't. And I want him to be because I like him. But I just got a weird feeling last night watching that.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting observation because, you know, everybody talks about LeBron James. Oh, he's the coach. You know, Ty Lue, oh, it's all LeBron is coach. It doesn't matter how big you are as a superstar. You want the coach to have that kind of authority that you can go to the sideline, you can go to the bench in a timeout, or you can know that he's got you're back, and he's got that kind of command of the team that you can rely on. He says, okay, here we go, 2 minutes left, whatever. Guys, bring it in. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And he has that command, that confidence. That's what you want to – everybody wants that. Michael Jordan needed that from Phil Jackson, needed it. You know, Magic Johnson needed that Pat Riley to come in and say, all right, I know I got superstars. This is your team, but I'm running this show right now. Come in the huddle. This is what we're going to do. He can jump guys when he wants to jump on guys. He can be hard. He can be easy. And so that is, regardless of what people think, oh, LeBron is a coach, he still wants that coach to be able to do that. And so what I'm hearing from you is, like, you're not sure that Luke can be that guy to all of the players.
I don't know. I just got this really eerie feeling watching that last night. And I honestly hope I'm wrong because I believe the Lakers are going to have a great year. I hope I'm wrong. But there will also be a point in time during the year where it's going to be fish or cut bait time. That will happen as well. And if there's a sense that they're underperforming, I wouldn't be surprised to see a change made if they're underperforming.
Wow.
And look, manager expectations.
Bold statement, Fred.
I know. Manage your expectations, but be honest. It's a playoff team. Hell, I have them like third or fourth in the conference. I have them going to the second round of the playoffs. There will be a point in time as we get into January where I think we'll know all we need to know.
You'll know what direction this team is going.
Yeah, I think so. And I hope it's Luke, and I hope they're winning, and everybody's excited. But it's just something now I got that sense last night to keep an eye on.
Mm. Okay.
All right, kind of hedged my bet there three different ways, but
geez, Debbie Downer.
No, I'm not trying to be a downer. I'm not trying to be a downer. Man. I'm just saying that's what I saw.
Blowing my high. And I was high. No.
Hey, now. Kidding.
Man, Fred, I don't want you to bring me down.
No,
come on.
What did I say? They're in the playoffs.
Can we bring on somebody in the next segment to bring us up?
Yeah, we'll talk to Bill Oram. He was there. He's our Laker insider. He's there every single day. I'm sure he'll tell me I'm crazy.
Okay, good.
But he wouldn't be the first.
I tell you that all the time.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. Rodney, I appreciate that.
You know, sometimes you got to just speak from the heart, Fred. And that's coming from somebody else's heart. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, now.
That's real, brother.
All right. Let's get out to Laker practice. They've just completed practice. We welcome on our insider. He's there every single day. It's our dear friend, Bill Oram. Bill, thank you for jumping on today.
My pleasure, Fred. How are you doing today?
We're good, thank you. Okay. How did practice go after the performance last night?
Well, I mean, you know, good. I mean, very rarely do guys say they didn't have a good practice, but it's kind of about that progression because they finally had a good showing on the court last night. I think, Fred, you were there after kind of a letdown in San Diego on Sunday when they didn't play especially well. Last night, you saw it. You kind of saw the sequences where they looked like the Lakers they want to be, where the ball was really moving, where they're in transition, where they're making the extra pass, sometimes to the detriment of the offense. But it was a much more encouraging outing. LeBron looked like LeBron, and I think everybody came away feeling like, you know, they're moving in the right direction. Still a lot of questions, but defensively they were better. Kyle Kuzma was better as the backup center. Josh Hart was really excellent as that starting shooting guard, even though he didn't actually shoot the ball very well. There was a lot to be impressed by coming away from that game, even though they lost.
Hey, Bill. I wasn't there, and Fred, you know, kind of explained to me about the atmosphere and what it was like, and I saw it from afar, and it was great because I never saw that much interest in a preseason game and the effect that LeBron James is having already, and it's, you know, Lakers must-watch TV in the NBA. But I also saw, you know, guys like JaVale McGee. I just see some life in him to the point where it feels like he is excited about this opportunity. I mean, yes, he's got a ring up there in Golden State, but just it feels like LeBron and him in this situation is going to be a good one for JaVale McGee.
Well, JaVale McGee can have as good or as bad of a year as he wants, I think, because the minutes are going to be there for him if he's playing well. I mean, he's the only real center on this roster that you trust. I mean, Ivica Zubac has not played well in the preseason. I kind of doubt you'll see much of him in the regular season. Kyle Kuzma's his backup at 6'9", out of position. So JaVale has been really great. I mean, you've seen him in the lob game. He's been able to really get up and down the floor. He had a sequence last night where he blocked two shots back-to-back on a single possession. You know, we just had a great conversation with him at practice where he talked at length about what it's like to be a 7-footer in the game today when, you know, there aren't as many jobs as there used to be. It used to be teams employed three of those guys. There used to be 97-footers in the NBA playing center. And now, you know, a team might have one, maybe two. And, you know, he talked about the evolution of the game since he came in. You know, there weren't iPhones when he was a rookie, and now there are hardly centers. So it's been an interesting journey for him, but he might have the best opportunity of his entire career, to your point, Rodney, where, you know, he is the starting center next to LeBron James. He hasn't averaged more than 20 minutes in many, many years, but this year you almost have to assume that he'll get that, if not more. Said last night that he feels like he could play 30 minutes a night, which for a guy who's, you know, 30 years old and has been written off by the league a couple of times has to be pretty exciting. And so for him to be able to, you know, still be able to use his athleticism, get up and down the court, make those electric plays that get a fan base excited. You know, he's kind of been one of the pleasant surprises of these first couple of preseason games. Obviously, it's early, but, you know, for a guy who came in on a minimum deal and with minimal expectations, I think people are happy to have him here.
Bill Oram, our insider, writes for The Athletic with us, AM 570 LA Sports, Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete. All right, let's just cut to it. Here's what I saw last night. I like McGee. I like Rondo. I like LeBron. Then it's a crapshoot. That's how I view it, to be honest with you. We'll see how the young guys do. Those three alone, I like them. I know Brandon Ingram's going to start. I think he still has to develop. I think he has to get bigger. I don't know if Pope is going to be the two or it's going to be Josh Hart. I like the three I gave you. Then we see how the rest shakes out. Am I right or wrong?
I mean, based on, if you're basing it on last night, I thought you had to like Josh Hart, the way he played, the way he defended. You know, he had one play where he was he set the pick for Rondo and then was the roll guy and went and scored over Nikola Jokic in the paint. That guy, we asked Luke kind of what about Josh Hart makes him the kind of guy who can do that, who can play the four in practice sometimes, and who is willing to kind of take on whatever role you give him, whatever the task may be. And Luke said he's a winner. And, you know, that's, I mean, from a guy who won championships with the Lakers, that is as high of an endorsement as he's going to give. I mean, I know it's a cliche, but it's not a label that Luke Walton gives out, without thought. So he's a believer in Josh Hart. I know he's not probably, the star of this team, but in terms of a guy who can really hold a group together and make winning plays, I think he's got to be one of the guys that you really look at as somebody who you know is going to bring something every single night. Ingram obviously wasn't there in the scoring, played a little bit of a different role. They didn't put him at point as much last night, but he, I think they're confident he's going to be fine, finish with 4 points. But you're right. I mean, after that, we don't really know. I mean, Kyle Kuzma is now in a role that he's never played before. He's playing center, which takes him out of what he does best, which is just sort of freelance on the court and play in the flow of the game, play on instinct. He's certainly doing something different in defending seven-footers and trying to front and having to use his speed to make up for the lack of size. I mean, that is a big task for a guy who's not big. And so far, mixed results. Was better last night. It's going to be interesting to see if that's sustainable once we get past the preseason. Because, like I said, once you get past JaVale McGee, the Lakers don't really have options at center. With Mo Wagner out, Ivica Zubac struggling, and basically LeBron and Beasley and Kuzma are the only guys you could even throw out there. And I don't think you want to do that in long stretches.
Hey, Bill, we were chatting a little bit earlier, and Fred being there said that he has a little bit of a concern about, Luke Walton, and we're all rooting for Luke and his situation, but is he the right guy for this team long term? From your standpoint, not necessarily Luke, but what are your concerns for this team? And I know it's early and it's only been 2 preseason games and all that kind of stuff, but what are your concerns, or your top 2 concerns about this team going into the season, or what they may need to correct as the season starts?
Well, just on the Luke front, I would say, I mean, this is a team that should be in the playoffs. It should be, 5-6 seed at the lowest. And things happen in a season that make things weird, but if the Lakers aren't there barring injury, you may start to hear calls for a coaching change. But I mean, but that is a long ways from now. I mean, everybody within the Lakers organization has been united behind Luke, and that's kind of been the case since he got here. But obviously the different stakes, different circumstances now, so it is something to monitor. But just in terms of things that they need to pay attention to, obviously being consistent defensively, that's something that they, last year they improved, but you look at some of the guys they have on the floor, especially in the post, they could really struggle there. So they need to figure out kind of what their defensive identity is going to be, and then identify shooters, because right now they don't have guys who you can look at and say that are going to be able to consistently knock down threes. And so if they can address that and figure out in the preseason if Brandon Ingram has taken the necessary steps to become a 3-point shooter, if Josh Hart is a reliable spot up guy, whatever it is, if they can take care of those 2 things, I think they're going to have a pretty good sense of who they're going to be, because they're going to run. That's going to start with defense, and we saw it last night when they get out in space on the floor and they're able to pass the ball around, make the extra pass. I mean, they're pretty darn fun, and they're good, and they have guys who can make the pass and who can finish. So I think there's a lot of potential there for this to be an exciting team, but it's going to start with defense.
All right, Bill, thanks for jumping on today, and we appreciate the updates every day.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks, Fred. Thanks, Rodney.
You got it.
All right, Bill, want to win Dodger postseason tickets starting at 2 today? Join Petros and Money at Outback Steakhouse in Arcadia. It'll give you a chance to win playoff tickets to the games Thursday or Friday. Meet Dodger legend Ron Say at 5. Dodgers are blooming, and it's time to celebrate. Outback Steakhouse located 166 East Huntington Drive in Arcadia.
It's time for good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
Just to extend Freddie's love for the Dodger tickets, we're giving away more.
We're giving away Dodger playoff tickets, games 1 and 2. Like Fred said, Outback Steakhouse in Arcadia today, beginning at 2 with Petros and Money. Then again tomorrow and Friday morning, beginning at 6 a.m. with Tim Cates and Steve Sachs and Rogan and Rodney for Friday's game. So we're giving away a lot of tickets. You got to keep listening to get you into the house for these precious playoff games. So keep listening for your chance to win tickets for tomorrow's NLDS against the Braves in the postseason extravaganza at Dodger Stadium. Dodgers Braves first pitch at 5:30. Brought to you by Sunlux for all your solar and roofing needs. On your cell, you dial #250 keyword Sunlux, S-U-N-L-U-X, or you log on to sunlux.com. Okay,
come on, Vic. All right, guys, good call or bad call to say we shouldn't criticize Earl Thomas because he isn't a role model. Now, former NFL defensive back Dominique Foxworth and others have come out and said, well, safety Earl Thomas shouldn't be criticized for giving the bird to the Seattle Seahawks sideline this past weekend because he and other professional athletes should not and are not role models. Of course, a lot of parents have come out and been very upset by the fact that their children have to see that on television. But Dominique Foxworth and others believe that shouldn't be an issue because, as Charles Barkley told us some years ago, you shouldn't consider us role models. Is it a good call or a bad call to say that we should not criticize Earl Thomas for doing that because he is not a role model? Rodney.
It's a bad call. You know, Earl Thomas is wrong. You know, you understand we're in an entertainment business. This is not pay-per-view. You know, you got to conduct yourself right. I know he's taking a stand, and he has a stance, and he's upset about his situation and the contract and wanted out of Seattle. But you got to understand there are cameras everywhere, and there are kids watching. And regardless of what you think, there is somebody out there that is looking up to you. Now, I don't believe that should be, and that's up to the parents, that someone that you don't know should be your role model. That is a parent decision. However, I do believe that when you get to a public place and you get to a certain stature in society, you do have some sort of responsibility, and that is not the time or place to kind of show that kind of display when everybody can see it. So I think it's, yeah, bad call.
What do you say, Fred?
So what was the question?
I know, I convoluted it, huh?
A little bit.
What was
it? Is it a good call or a bad call for us to not criticize Earl Thomas because you believe he's not a role model?
Is it a good call to not criticize him?
No. The bad call. The good call to not criticize him. I think it's a bad call. That's why I always got confused.
I say, you know what? Whatever it was, you'll hit the sounder. Don't criticize him for not being a role model. And here's why. He shouldn't be your role model. If Earl Thomas is somebody's role model, we got a problem. We misplace who we look up to in life. Because someone competes or someone makes a lot of money doesn't necessarily mean that that's a role model. Your role model are your parents, hopefully. Your teachers, hopefully. People that influence your life on a daily basis. People that touch you, that impact you. Rodney's right when he says people have a responsibility if the lights are on and you're on stage. I get that. But don't expect things from people you don't really know. It's the old argument. You know, when a terrible crime occurs and the news goes to somebody's house, the neighbor, and says, are you shocked? What do they always say? Oh my God, I never thought they could do that before. I didn't see that coming. Why? Because you don't know them. And if you don't know them, they should never be your role model. You don't know these athletes. You don't know these entertainers. You know what they do. You know they provide you entertainment and escape. But they should never be your role model, ever.
What do you say, Vic?
It's a good call. Earl Thomas was in a tumultuous emotional situation, breaks his leg, never achieved the culmination of a contract he so richly deserved. And for him to go off like that was pure from the soul emotion. But for the kids to watch that, I believe is totally kosher. I would draw the kids away from the Kavanaugh hearings. That to me is obscene. But to see Earl Thomas evoke his true emotions, and he's been in an emotional whirlpool for months with the Seattle Seahawks organization. Even Pete Carroll said, you know, you can't go down on Earl Thomas was because he lost control there. It was a very, very emotional situation for Earl, and just what a tough way for Earl to, end the season and end his, his quest for equity for this contract. Now he's going to be a free agent. He broke his leg. It's a horrific situation, and I got a lot of simpatico for Earl Thomas.
All right, Vic, moving on. Oh, there's a role model for you. Good call or bad call for a toilet paper company to endorse Isaiah Crowell. Now, Jets running back Isaiah Crowell received a $14,000 fine from the NFL for what he did last week when he used a football to wipe his behind, for lack of a better term, after scoring a touchdown. But apparently, a company called Dude Wipes loved it. They actually gave him an endorsement contract. He actually tweeted out, "Thanks to Dude Wipes, and now I am covered." Is it a good call or a bad call for toilet paper company Dude Wipes to endorse Isaiah Crowell, Fred?
It's a great call. It's great. Think about it. If you were starting a business, you would try to manufacture something that people always need. You've always got to have toilet paper. Technology's not going to help that. You're not going to use your tablet or your iPhone. You need toilet paper. Okay? He was fined, but now the endorsement will cover the fine. I think it's brilliant. Good call.
What do you say, Rod?
Hey, don't use the pigskin. Use the cloth. I love it. That's a great call. Come on. It is about marketing in 2018. You know, he got fined for using the football as a prop. And now a company seized on that opportunity. I love it. It's a great call. Great, great, great call. And it's better than using the pigskin, Vic.
Telling me it's a little smoother.
Yeah.
What do you say, Vic?
It's a great call. Also, when is Crowell going to get an endorsement?
Never.
Living in the shadows of Sam Darnold. I mean, he gets the ball. He's a mediocre running back. He should snatch any kind of endorsement he can get. But, you know, I'm sick and tired of these big bears running around wiping their tuckuses on TV in that commercial.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather see Isaiah, you know, do a little spot. Sick and tired of those bears. It makes me cringe. It's cringeworthy seeing those big bears wiping their tuckuses.
Can we take a quick poll in the room right now? Who used Dude Wipes this morning? Because I did. Did you guys use Dude Wipes?
Good move by you.
You got me on that one.
So comfortable. Every nook and cranny.
That's exactly what he's
trying to get an endorsement right now?
Too much information.
The last thing I need to hear about is Jason's nooks
and
crannies.
Vic.
I'm good.
Say it again, Vic.
A little too much information from Jason.
Yeah, yeah.
The nooks and the crannies.
You guys didn't use your Dude Wipes?
I use Charmin.
Oh, you and the Bears, right, Fred?
There you go. Yeah.
Those bears sicken me already.
All right, enough with the Bears.
Good call or bad call for the Raiders to move to Las Vegas next season. Now, we talked about this on the show a while back, that the Raiders are embroiled in a legal dispute with the city of Oakland that could possibly see their lease end after this season and basically leave them homeless. Now, there are talks about them possibly playing at Cal or playing where Stanford plays or even possibly going down to San Diego for next season to play. But now it looks like they could have a deal in place to play at Sam Boyd Stadium, where UNLV plays their football games. Problem is, it only seats about 40,000 people. Now, that hasn't stopped the Chargers from playing at StubHub Center, so that still is a viable option. But would it be a good call or a bad call for the Raiders to move to Las Vegas next season, 2 years before their stadium will be completed, Fred?
Yeah, it'd be a good call if they could pull it off. They're basically nomads now, looking for a place to pitch their tent. Better to get up there as soon as possible and start developing that fan base. Makes sense. They talked about Sam Boyd Stadium in the past. They'd have to make some adjustments, and I think the Raiders would cover that, if I remember correctly. I think it's a good call. What are you doing? You're not here anymore. Since you're not here, go to where you're going. You know, we appreciate all your years here, but you're not here. So, yeah, I think it'd be a good call.
Rodney.
Yeah, good call. They got to go. They got to get out of Oakland. I mean, it's ugly now. It has been ugly since the decision came down. As you know, I was involved in that whole process, but it's ugly up there. The Raiders are not playing well. It's going to be a bad season. To come back for one more year, knowing that that's going to be the last season after they have a terrible year this year, it's just not good. Get on the road. Play, you know, bite the bullet. Play in a 40,000-seat stadium. Look, the Chargers are doing it right now. So get on the road. Go to Vegas. Be there. Call it a day. Get out of Oakland. You know, end the misery right now for the Raider Nation fans in Oakland, because They're dealing with it. They have dealt with it. Just get out of town.
What do you say, Vic?
Great call. Fan the flames of a hungry fan base in Las Vegas for the Plata y Negra. The sooner they get to Vegas, the better. Get to Vegas and they will come.
All right, guys. And that's good call, bad call.
All right, Vic. Kevin, come on. Good job.
Okay,
all right, here's the deal. We're going to open the door. We're going to let you in. We're going to let you run through the store.
Uh-oh.
And we're going to let you take whatever you want. As much of it as you want. We did that for one man today. And he will be on next to describe his tale. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. Here's a guy that probably had an awful lot of coffee this morning. His name is Steve, and he was the winner of Experience Even Money Can't Buy. And the deal was, Steve earned himself a 57-second shopping spree at the Dodger Clubhouse store at Universal City Walk. The Dodger Clubhouse store is the official team store of AM 570 LA Sports. So, Steve, the deal was you had the opportunity to go into the clubhouse store and take whatever you could in 57 seconds. Is that right?
Correct, Fred.
Okay. So now we saw some Instagram video of you running through the store. Why don't you start with your strategy and what you plan to do?
What I plan to do? Well, I wanted to make sure that I got some stuff for my boys, first off. So I strategically, you know, looked around and made myself a little route on how to go in and then make sure on the way out, the last thing I got was that hat for my wife.
Hey, Steve, so did you get a chance to walk around, or had you been in the store before so you kind of knew where things were?
Yeah, I came and scoped it out about 2 weeks ago, but when I first got here earlier this morning, I went ahead and walked around the store, cased it out, figured the best strategy was to stay at the front of the store, go after the jackets and the jerseys, and make sure that I knew what color tags were my size, because if I only got my size, I couldn't exchange it.
Oh, wait. If you grabbed something that wasn't your size, you couldn't exchange it? You had to find the right size as well?
That is correct. Luckily, it was color-coded, though, and I was able to grab my size, the size for my boys, and it made it a lot easier. And then one of the first things I grabbed was that postseason hat. I don't know if you guys saw the video. And on the back, it actually had three Dodger autographs embroidered into the hat.
Now, were you able to grab whatever you want and whatever amount of it you wanted?
They did set an amount, and I did grab. Actually, I did go over the amount with some of the stuff, but that's okay. I was able to keep what I wanted and the best stuff that I wanted.
Oh, so they had an amount? Because what I would have done, there was an old show called Supermarket Sweepstakes, and you're probably, I'm sure you don't remember it. And in Supermarket Sweepstakes, all right, you know, they let people run through a grocery store, and the person that won totaled the largest amount of stuff that they carried. And everybody ran for the canned hams. That was the thing. Grab 25 canned hams because they were the most expensive thing in the store. But you weren't you weren't allowed to just grab, I'll take 30 jackets, 20 jerseys. You couldn't do that.
No. There was a set limit, which I believe is fair. And in a lot of time frame that I had, I actually did go over the set limit. So
good for you. You know, if you're going to get in there, go over the limit.
Get in there. Wait.
Exactly.
So it was called The Experience Even Money Can't Buy. You had 57 seconds. And you ran around the store, man. Did it seem like it went fast, or did it seem like it went slow?
It seemed like it went fast, but, you know, my whole goal is because they told me I have to be out the store with. And if I didn't make it, I said, so what do I do if I don't make it out? They said, then you don't get any of the stuff. So I made sure I got out of it within the time frame.
Wow, that's strict.
See, you know what I would have done? I'd have grabbed this stuff and just thrown it out the door. I'd have grabbed it and just chucked it right out the door and said, that's mine. That's mine.
Yeah, but they told me I had to walk out with it in my hand. That was the deal.
Rules. I hate that. Well, Steve, congratulations. First of all, thank you for listening to the radio station and being a part of the family here. And congratulations on winning the Experience Even Money Can't Buy. And nice job. Good haul today for you.
All right. Thanks, Fred. Thanks, Rodney. You guys have a good one.
You too, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
And keep listening for your chance to win tickets to the NLDS games at Dodger Stadium featuring the Dodgers and Braves. First pitch at 5:30, brought to you by Sunlux. For all your solar and roofing needs, on your cell phone, dial #250, keyword Sunlux, or log on to sunlux.com. Petros and Money are at the Outback Steakhouse in Arcadia right now. They'll be there till 6, and they've got Dodger tickets. So if you're out in the Valley, get out to Arcadia. Win some Dodger tickets. Jason and Kevin, thank you. Thanks to the kids from Cal State Los Angeles for hanging out today. Vic, well done.
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow.